Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good Friday, everybody. Welcome. We made it through another week together, and it's brought to you today by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. It is time to stock up for the weekend. A lot going on this weekend, and we're looking forward to it, and you need to stock up at Brewers Outlet. That means beverages, snacks, oh, the peanuts, the pickle bar, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm safely ensconced here at the Chateau, a.k.a. the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And our phone line open today at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. They're located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 to 15. They are the 21st century version of the General Store. And the second you walk in, you'll say, those guys on the radio are right. Look at all of this. 1-800-795-9565. Bill O'Brien's contract amended. They released it yesterday. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. Also about people phoning in for golf when they see a violation. And the PGA going, oh, you saw that? Let's go to a tape. Come on, man. Can't do that. I mean, we were at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Kevin used a foot wedge, a hand wedge, all sorts of things that could have been called in. You know, as his playing partners, we just turned a blind eye to it when, I don't know what he's doing.
But the chutter was legal.
The chutter is legal, and you are lethal with the chutter. I want to tell everybody, he is the best chutter player in the world.
This is the best part is when I pulled it out the first time, I said, oh, it's chutter time. And you're like, what?
Yeah, like, the what? He goes, chutter. I'm great at the chutter. Like, okay, fine. You know, I mean, with Kevin, I feel like I've gone from being somebody who grew up in New England who now feels like he's from Missouri. Show me. and suddenly he hits the ball with the chutter. What'd you get, within 6 inches of the cup?
Yeah, yeah. The chutter is like a chipper putter. And you take it with a you hit it with a putter swing. Puts a little spin on the ball, sticks it right near the hole.
Now, the three of us did not have that club in our bag.
You wanted one afterwards, didn't you?
No, I mean, we really don't want the embarrassment of having it. But in a team sport, since you have it, we're more than willing to use your shot in the hole. We have no pride. Pride was erased the second we tried to hit. So, yeah. So Kevin used a hand wedge. He used a foot wedge. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the legal chutter. Now, I'd like to point out the chutter is illegal in 17 states.
But not this one.
Not this one. As Jack Nicklaus once said on the Jack Nicklaus Golf My Way series, you have 14 clubs in the bag and just one swing. Time now for Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout. Your dream car, a 2010 Ford Roush Mustang 427R, just $33.99. And get ready for these deals. On a 2008 Honda Fit HB Mansport, a 2011 Ford Escape 4-wheel drive XLT, a 2010 Chevy Traverse 4-wheel drive 4-door LT, a 2012 Ford Econoline Wagon, 2011 Chevy Equinox, and a 4-door 2010 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited 4-wheel drive Sahara and a 2012 Ford F-150 4-wheel drive Super Crew 145 Raptor feels so good that you have to call for our lowest price promise. 888-536-8017. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. We roll on here. Great day today. Play golf today with Jamie Hynoski from Wise Markets. Then the card said they did. Joe works with her at Wise Markets as well, but it said guest Hynoski, so I refer to him as G. Way to go. Great shot, G.
G. I like that.
So now that Jamie told me at Wise, when she starts referring to him as G, they're all going to ask where he got that. They're going to say it's from me. And they're two fabulous people. Had a great time. She is Henry Hynoski's cousin. And we had a great time today. Great time. Your exploits on the golf course were brought up at one point.
I can only imagine.
Only the highlights.
Uh-huh. That didn't take long.
I mentioned, by the way, that I did mention the shot where you hit the railing.
Well, you kind of have to. I mean, I understand that.
Right. But I also talked about your closest to the line shot.
Oh, from the year before.
Yes.
Well, that's again a unique one.
I said, I've never seen anything like this in my life.
Aim three holes left, right down the middle.
I said, he was 6 inches away.
And I still didn't win.
Well, you're still bitter. Heat won last night. Mike Breen with the call on ABC.
The Spurs will not foul. Final seconds. What a finish. It's back-to-back titles for the Heat. The 2013 NBA Championship resides once again in Miami.
And as for Eric Spoelstra, great job he's done the last couple of years. A lot of people wanted him out in the middle of the first year. But you know what? This guy does a great job, especially mixing up his defenses as well as anybody. He knows he has interchangeable parts and he takes advantage of it. He also has the privilege of coaching LeBron James.
He always rises to the occasion when it matters the most, when the competition is fiercest. He takes pride and puts in so much time into it. He was guarding Parker, Ginobili, whoever was the most dangerous threat, and then had to create so much offense for us as well.
As for Tim Duncan, first time he's been to the finals, fifth time overall, first time he didn't win. And he says the game plan basically just didn't work.
We made adjustments throughout the game. They were making shots, so we made adjustments. We closed, we double-team every once in a while, just to change up the look on them. But they made shots. They made enough shots to put them over the top, something we were willing to live with, keeping away from the basket.
Greg Popovich, who's a man of very few words, says basically they had their chances during the course of this thing.
We had a three that could have tied it. We had a three right in front of our bench that would have tied the score. And that would have been a huge shot. That would have been a kind of playoff shot you make to stay in a game or win a game. It didn't go down. They went down and scored. And, you know, it built from the 3 point to the 5 point. And they ended up getting it done.
But when it came time to explain why Tony Parker was out in the last 30 seconds, he said, that's just what we wanted to do. He said, can you explain why? He says, no.
No.
Okay. Okay. No.
Is that because there isn't a reason or?
Who knows? He knows better than we do. He knows his personnel better than we do as to why he didn't, how spent they are, how, you know, and so forth. And I don't know. I thought it was odd with everything on the line, but that's, you know, only he can answer that. Only he can answer that. But the Heat won it second straight year. Now the question is whether they stay together. A lot of talk about possibility of trading Bosch away. Or else getting a big man to go with this group. I don't know who. I don't know who you get at that point. So, they won. Second straight year. The ratings were huge. It was a 17-1 national rating, which is higher than the NCAA tournament final and was higher than, see, it's the highest non-NFL rating of all. It was higher than the BCS national championship rating, and it was higher than the NCAA national championship rating in basketball, higher than both. And it was they got a 46 in San Antonio, and they got a 44 in Miami. But it also translated across the country, too. I mean, again, 17-1 is a big number. Believe me, Big Bang Theory would love to have a 17-1. NCIS would love to have a 17-1. Major League Baseball would love to have a week where everything combined to be a 17.1.
You know, everybody's downplaying the fact that the Heat, you know, won the game six at overtime, but I think a lot of that carried over here into game seven, too.
Sure it did. Oh, no. I mean, I'm not big on carryover. I really do not believe in carryover when you have quality teams, because the Spurs were winning the game for a period of time. Couldn't have carried that much over.
Well,
the key was that, look, LeBron James worked hard in his jump shot in the offseason. Early in this series, they were giving him that shot, and he didn't make it. Later in the series, they were still giving him that shot, but this time he was making it. And that was the biggest thing that turned things around, was the number of three-point shots Miami hit last night. Shane Battier was having, through the Indiana series and the opening five games of this series, Shane Battier was no factor whatsoever. And then suddenly in game six, he hit a couple shots, and then he hit six threes last night. Yeah, I don't think the San Antonio Spurs went into the game last night thinking Shane Battier was going to hit six threes. I think they thought maybe LeBron would get his 31 points, but they sloughed off him. I think the mistake they made was that they should have been sloughing off of him in the two-point alley to a point, but playing up on him when he was at the three-point line. I think that's the mistake they made. If you're going to give him some space to take a 15 to 20 footer that hurts you for two. Don't give him a lot of space, though, when it comes time to maybe fire a three. And I think that's the mistake they made throughout all that. So, and for Tim Duncan, obviously, point blank range there, and he missed those two right. They would have tied the game up. And look, you know, the Spurs blew game six. They missed a couple free throws, and LeBron and Allen hit the two big threes. But Kawhi Leonard, who had a marvelous series, to be frank with you, he missed a big free throw, and Manu Ginobili missed a big free throw. Either one of them hits a free throw, one of the two. Series is over in six. I mean, the Spurs know that, you know, they really essentially lost the series in game six. That's the game that will haunt them, not last night. Last night won't haunt them. Game six will. But again, that's the advantage of the 2-3-2. When we were going into game four, I said, look, the Heat just need to win one in San Antonio. Even though they were crushed in game three, I said, look, they just need to win one in San Antonio. Just get the thing back to Miami. And they did. So a lot of credit to them for that. Now, ironically, for the first time in my lifetime, the Stanley Cup Finals running past the NBA Final.
That's just weird. Well, I mean, I know why, but it's weird.
Because of the lockout. Yeah, it's strange, but it's because of the lockout. Yeah. And that's been a great series. That's been entertaining. The 6-5 game the other night was wild. And three of the first four games have gone overtime. That's incredible. Now they go back to Chicago. It's a best of three now. They'll play game five tomorrow night. Then they play game six Monday night. Chicago has to feel like they have great momentum after winning in overtime in game four. But I'll tell you what's got to be a little scary for them. The Bruins have figured out that Crawford has a weak love hand. And they're going to attack that thing relentlessly. They're going to attack that thing relentlessly, and he's going to have to be better with the glove hand if they have a chance, because that mean the Bruins, that's where the Bruins are going now. They're going right at that thing. And we'll see with Game 5 coming up in Chicago. But this is how Chicago's won all year. Even when they had that streak to open the season, it was so remarkable where they didn't lose. But the first 24 games, they didn't have a loss. They won a lot of games, you know, 3-2, one in overtime, one on penalty shots, things like that, you know. And that's how they won a lot of their games. That's how they won a lot of their games. All right, news coming up next at the bottom of the hour. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Friday. Brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Kevin, I know you love the peanuts and the pickle bar.
Love the peanuts and the pickle bar, especially when you walk in and smell them roasting the peanuts.
Oh, very nice. By the way, the Kevin Heard Shudder posted on SteveJonesShow.com. The Shudder.
Shudder time.
Explain to the world the Shudder.
It's a combination chipper putter. And you swing with a putter swing, so it puts a nice little bit of loft and spin on the ball, so it sticks about, what did you say, 6 inches away from the hole, I believe. You're admiring the Shudder, aren't you?
Who wouldn't? Hey, really? I mean, who wouldn't? Someone else who would admire the Shudder, in my opinion. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. I'm sure, Kevin, you're aching to find out about Ben. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Kevin? All right. So, Tony, great to have you with us. How is Ben's knee doing, and do they expect him to be on time for training camp?
Yeah, they do expect him to be ready. He expects to be ready. They kind of sort of showcased him at the recent mini camp. Making sure that they had him running drills, right, and, you know, running calisthenics and, you know, running drills, the tires and that kind of stuff right in front of the media, which I don't ever recall being the case with him. I think they wanted to show that the knee was fine. And he said that, you know, if there was a game this Sunday, he'd start. Now, of course, there's not a game this Sunday, and there's not a game for a while, so it's easy to say that. I do think it was minor surgery, Steve, but when you're a 31-year-old quarterback and you've been banged around as much as he has, and when your team depends on you as much as the Steelers do, any type of procedure is probably not necessarily minor, you know, when you have the history that Ben Roethlisberger has. So I expect him to be fully ready to go. You know, the question has been for a couple of years now, how long will he last and how long will he stay upright?
He actually had the same procedure done, the opposite knee before, if I recall correctly. Is that true?
I believe it is, yeah. So, again, you know, you're talking about a guy getting up there and having to have the knee cleaned out, even if it's a minor procedure, you know, that's a sign of playing on, you know, playing for a long time, playing on knees that are not going to get any better anytime soon. So that's just where Ben Roethlisberger is in his career.
What was the feeling the Steelers had coming out of their mini camps and so forth? And, you know, did they feel good about what they had before training camp?
You know, I think it was definitely different. I mean, we saw Joe Green resign, you know, retire from the front office and sort of throw a little warning shot by saying that he didn't like the locker room atmosphere last year. He didn't, this wasn't what he remembered as being a Steeler, you know, the Steeler way. And those words from Joe Green hit pretty hard, especially from a guy who doesn't say much. So, you know, when a guy is respected as Green talks, ears certainly perk up, and he had something to say, and he certainly said it, and I think he got his point across. And a lot of the veterans were very, very modest in talking about how they need to commit to becoming leaders. I mean, the biggest turnaround on the roster, Steve, was the loss of not only productive guys, but guys who were the leaders in the locker room, the Aaron Smiths and the James Ferriers and the Hines Wards and those guys. And now you're looking at Casey Hampton missing from the bunch and Max Starks missing on the offensive side. So it really is a new group of leaders. And, you know, to have someone say something like Green said, I sort of took that to be the biggest challenge to this team. They certainly have some positional challenges and so forth, but it seems like they're committed, or they're at least looking to get that end of things cleaned up and hoping that the on-field stuff will follow.
A year ago, we were discussing Mike Wallace and the fact that he wanted his out of life, and now he's getting that at the with the Miami Dolphins. But now you have, with Landry Jones signing, all the draft choices are signed. Being at least settled before camp, what does that mean for Mike Tomlin?
I think that's a big deal, no question about that. I think that certainly puts some guys into positions where they're going to be expected to contribute right away, and I think having those distractions off of the table are going to be a big help. Tomlin's never been a big fan of those types of distractions and has gone out of his way to not talk about them by, you know, showing his disdain for those types of distractions. And he certainly did that last year with Wallace. So, you know, I think that those things are cleared, and now they can look at guys like, you know, getting Le'Veon Bell the playing time early in the season, getting him up to speed and letting him challenge Jonathan Dwyer for a starting job, letting Jarvis Jones fight for playing time in, you know, as a first-year player in a Dick LeBeau defense. And there are a couple of other guys. Shamarco Thomas is one at safety, seeing if these guys can get some playing time. So this is a crew that is going to be looked at to contribute early and also over the long term. This is a very, very big draft class as far as the future of the Steelers, and in particular Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin are concerned.
If I were to tell you that a team was 22nd in on-base percentage, 24th in runs scored, 26th in batting average, 29th with runners in scoring position, and also was 24th in quality starts, exactly where do you think that team would be right now?
Steve, I think we'd be talking about like the Pirates circa 2008 or so, right? I mean, those
right.
teams that were losing 100 games. It's amazing, particularly when you talk about the lack of quality starts. Because the pitching staff is what's carrying this team.
Yeah.
And when you talk about the lack of quality starts, you're talking about a bullpen that is pitching a ton of innings and holding up exceptionally well to this point. And I think that's the key to this point. Can they continue this? It almost seems impossible to. They're going to have to get longer and more quality starts. Perhaps guys like Gerrit Cole, perhaps a more experienced Jeff Locke as he continues down this path. And certainly getting Wandy Rodriguez and A.J. Burnett back should help. It's going to have to help if they're going to want to stay in the race, in the postseason
right.
race.
I mean, what they have done is absolutely remarkable. And I know Pirate fans don't like me reciting these numbers. Oh, it's negative. I'm just telling you what the numbers are. The numbers are abnormal for a team that is playing this well. I mean, they saw all the signs of danger.
Yeah, you know, the numbers are astounding. There's no question about it. And again, is you know, they reflect a bullpen that has been absolutely fantastic. But I think the realities of baseball show that this, you know, it's unsustainable for a bullpen to pitch this many innings. I mean, it isn't like there's 15 Mariano Riveras coming out of this bullpen. Sure, they've got some talent, but in addition to, you know, Melanson and Grilly, you're talking about guys like Vin Mazzaro and Brian Morris and Justin Wilson and Tony Watson. You know, figuring out a way to almost pitch above their head. in a lot of these cases. Yeah. You know, I think perhaps if the starting rotation can work out and you can bump a Charlie Morton to the bullpen, maybe get a James McDonald to become a relief pitcher and not a starting pitcher. He doesn't have the arsenal to start. Perhaps he has the arsenal to pitch him a limited number of innings. Maybe those kinds of moves can lend a little bit more depth to the bullpen. And again, I think that's going to have to happen in some way, shape, or form, because, again, those offensive numbers just cannot continue. You know, they were carried by a guy who, you know, yesterday, Pedro Alvarez, who, that's great that he did that yesterday, but you can't depend on Pedro every night, certainly. Right. Neil Walker's slumping, Andrew McCutchen's slumping. So you're right, the signs of danger are there, yet they continue to tread pretty well. They salvaged a sweep, I mean, a split yesterday, and they head off to the coast tonight. So no question it's going to be very interesting, Steve. And again, they're working without Wandy Rodriguez and A.J. Burnett for the next couple of weeks.
But then we look at the numbers of Jason Grilli and Mark Melancon, and Melancon was just awful in Boston last year. I mean, you know, I mean, I think Ben Cherington, the general manager, drove him to Pittsburgh personally. But the two of them have combined for 93 strikeouts and 11 walks. That's phenomenal. I mean, it's all, the Pirates are playing. John Wehner told us the other day, so he feels like the Pirates are playing Little League games. You get to the sixth inning, and after the seventh, eighth, and ninth, you got them.
That's exactly how it's been working out. I mean, I don't think anybody even raised an eyebrow when Grilli gave up the ninth inning home run to Jay Bruce the other night, because it's been such a long time coming. At some point, somebody was gonna, was gonna score off of him and cause a blown save. He, gave up the home run, got the next two guys out, and they moved on. They ended up losing the game, but Grilli has been that good, and you're right. So has Melancon. I mean, Melancon, you're absolutely right. He was terrible in Boston last year. He was decent in Houston 2 years earlier.
Yes, he was.
And the Pirates, I think, would have been thrilled to get the decent middle reliever that he was in Houston. And they haven't gotten either version of Melancon. He's been this new guy who has recreated himself somehow. And maybe there's nothing more to point to than the fact that they pound the strike zone, make guys hit the baseball, and the defense has been making plays. I do think Grilli is a better pitcher now than he ever was. I think his stuff is just better. Why, I don't know. His slider looks sharper. There's just a lot of things that Jason Grilli has somehow found a new career here at 36.
I'll be honest with you. I think part of this has to do with being in Pittsburgh. I really do. I see A.J. Burnett, and I see Mark Melancon. And look, the pressure in Pittsburgh is exponentially less than it is in Boston and New York. It's almost like you can just settle in and just be yourself. And I think that has something to do with it, because on the big stages, neither one of them could perform on the big stage.
You know what, Steve? I think that's a great point, and I think the fact that they both did spend time in those cities and have gone through that process of failing in those cities. Burnett had a pretty decent year his first year in New York, two awful years. Everything Melancon did in Boston was awful, but they went through it and sort of came out the other side. So I think I would add that in there to that experience as well. And right. And yeah, it's, you can see Burnett has talked about it, that it, you know, he, this is what he likes. He loves being the older guy who's gone through it, who's looked to by the young guys. And yeah, you know, I know he and his family love the fact that Pittsburgh, like you said, is not New York in a lot of ways. Some of them, the lower pressure being a good way.
I mean, that's why when I look at the guys like the Pettits, the Schillings, the Martinezes, and so forth, look, big stage, big pressure, whatever, they perform. And my respect for them grows even more so. Penguins, we talked about the moves they made last week. Anything changed in the status of guys like Letang, and maybe an idea of what they might want to do or not want to do?
You know, I think, you know, despite the fact that Ray Shiro talked about, wanting to re-sign Chris Letang, I'm sure he does want to re-sign Chris Letang, but a lot of the beat writers, the guys that are around this team on a day-to-day basis, are really starting to look at the fact that it doesn't seem possible. Probably Ray Shiro will throw down an offer for Chris Letang, a take-it-or-leave-it type of a thing that fits into Pittsburgh's salary.
Like Stahl.
Cap.
Like Stahl.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, Ray Shiro said that the Stahl trade didn't set precedent, but I think that's a general manager saying the things a GM has to do as part of these negotiations. I just don't see how they can keep Malkin, Crosby, James Neal. They're stuck with Marc-Andre Fleury's contract. We'll see what they do with that. and Chris Letang. So I do think Letang has to be moved. And looking at it realistically, that is where they have the bulk of their prospects is on the blue line. And they have guys who are very good and highly regarded offensive prospects. They're not as experienced as Chris Letang, but you got to lose something in the salary cap. Something's got to give. And, Steve, they haven't won in 4 years with these guys either.
Right. That's very true. Bruins Blackhawks, your pick now. It's down to a best of three.
Gosh, what a great series this has been. I didn't see the 11 goals coming. If that game had gone differently as far as the scoring goes, I might have gone with the Bruins with three games left. But now seeing that offensive output, I think I got to put my money on the Blackhawks.
Let me tell you right now, Crawford and Rask didn't see it coming either.
Very true. I don't think either one of them, right? 11 times.
I don't think either one of them woke up that day and thought, I'm going to give up five. I'm going to give up six. I don't think they woke. But you know what? Here's the one danger for Chicago. The Bruins have figured out Crawford has a weak glove hand. And if they attack that glove hand, he's going to have to be really, really good because the Bruins have figured out where they want to go with the puck.
I think that's a great point, and I think one thing that got lost in the Bruins' victory over Pittsburgh was, sure, Pittsburgh played poorly. Yes, Boston's defense was tremendous and very, very fundamentally sound. They've got skill players as well. They can score the puck, and you're seeing that now, and I think you're exactly right about Crawford. And I kind of like Rask a little better than Crawford. Maybe I'm wrong there, but I kind of like him as a goalie a tad bit better.
Tuca. Everybody loves Tuca.
Great name.
Yeah.
Exactly.
In fact, I wonder how many babies are going to be born in Boston this year. Tuca.
As long as the Bruins win from this point on, right?
They better.
As long as there are no Northwests born in Boston.
I would agree.
Wow.
Kimye. Why would they do that? I mean, the kid has it bad enough that it's Kim Kardashian and Kanye West's kid, but Northwest?
Look.
He's going to have to learn how to defend himself, I would think, right? Wow.
No, he'll have someone to do that for him.
That kid will have bodyguards.
Yeah, good point, you have to
remember that she is so intelligent. She has made money off no discernible skill whatsoever. She is famous for being famous. And I find that to be remarkable. She's famous for being famous. Wow.
If I could bank my lack of skills into the kind of bank she has, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something to look up to.
Like Barbara Stanwyck, one of the great actresses of all time, or Katharine Hepburn. They were really good at a craft. She's famous for being famous.
Northwest is a girl, by the way.
Yeah, I know it is. Yeah. Okay. Well,
bad. Yeah, I apologize. I said he. I guess I'm used to most of the North side, though, being male.
Right. Wait. I mean, you know who her father was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
OJ.
The attorney that carried the suitcase out for OJ.
Right.
Okay. Other than that.
Oh my.
Ah. Well, you can scratch that off the name list. All right. Tony. Northwest DeFazio. You never did tell us that was your middle name. Really nice. It was a nice tribute.
I was trying to keep it quiet, and then they go and they go and blow it up.
I think it's a nice tribute to you. All right, Tony, thanks so much.
Thanks, fellas. Have a great weekend.
You too. Tony Northwest DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Famous for being famous. Kim Kardashian.
That just might be the Steve Jones quote of the week, by the way.
Kim Kardashian has no discernible professional skill that we know of at all.
That's not true.
She's famous for being famous.
That's not true. There is absolutely no one that can get in front of the camera quicker or better than she can.
That's famous for being famous.
Right, but that's a skill. There is skill to that.
No, there isn't. There's no skill there.
All right. I think there's skill. If you have nothing to offer, but yet people still want to take your picture, there's got to be some sort of skill there that you have to make people want to do that.
Well, first of all, she is beautiful. I mean, it's, you know, you have to be blind not to think that. But they do a reality show.
Wow.
That's what this show is, reality.
No, we actually do some research into this. I mean, you know, you sit there, I talk to Tony DeFazio. I mean, look at all the different topics and weaved our way through it. But she's famous for being famous.
It's a good job if you can get it.
Well, they have. I got to give Kris Jenner and the whole group of them the credit for bringing really nothing to society to the table, but being loaded.
I have to admit, in a year and a half of doing this program, that is the first time I think we've ever talked at any length about the Kardashian, a Kardashian.
And Lamar Odom even plays basketball.
I'm really frightened, though.
Well, it goes back to the movie Ed TV. Remember the movie Ed
TV?
Yes,
Matthew McConaughey.
Yes. That's where this comes from. You're famous for being famous. They follow him around all over the place and becomes a big star.
I preferred the Truman Show a little bit better than Ed TV.
You know what? I would have said the same thing. But then I watched Ed TV. I mean, really watched it. And I found it to be remarkably entertaining.
Ellen DeGeneres was in that too, wasn't she?
Ellen DeGeneres. Yeah. Played a great role in that
TV
because she's the middle executive who comes up with the idea. Rob Reiner, who was there for 2 days of filming total, plays the bigwig. Jenna Elfman plays the girlfriend. Woody Harrelson. They didn't think Woody Harrelson would take a secondary role, but he did. He looked at it, thought it was really neat, and did it. Martin Landau?
Yeah.
Now the Truman played the father. Now the Truman Show was really clever and well put together. The difference between Ed TV and the Truman Show is that the Truman Show gets really sad at one point.
Yes.
Where you really, I mean, you feel, I mean, Jim Carrey, I think, is brilliant in the role. And Jim Carrey is playing a serious role, the entire time. Yeah, he has some comedic moments, but serious the entire time. And, you start feeling so sorry for him that he's in this fishbowl. Now, Ed, he gets himself involved in this, and all of a sudden it gets overwhelming for him, and he tries to get out, and he can't get out. Then he figures a way out, and it's fun. But in the end, I think the Truman Show was really well done. I actually liked that TV a little bit more.
We keep this up. I'm going to invite Movie Mike on the program every Friday.
No, I'm just saying it came up.
Yes.
It came up. You know, I mean, look, this is, you know, I may not be as well-rounded as Lawrence, but I can hold my own. And I may not be Captain Entertainment like Drew Kelly, but I can hold my own. By the way, in the golf course today, your shots came up. All right. News coming up top of the hour. I gave them one bad Kevin and one good Kevin.
I appreciate the balance.
I thought it was fair. I thought it's something O'Reilly would do. News is next on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.